Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to mix things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 54-14 win against Borgia. What were some takeaways you had from that win when you look back at that game on film?
I think most of all, we played a complete game. Our players came out. We really fired up to play the game, first of all. But second, just the overall team play of offense, defense, special teams. When you're in the playoffs, you can make great plays on special teams. It just accelerates your chances to win. And we had such a good game, special teams-wise. Defense played out of their minds for almost every series. A couple series, you know, they got us. They schemed a very good coaching staff. That was a team that really did some very good homework, thought they did a good job adjusting, which made us adjust back, which was a good thing. Offensively, did what we're supposed to do. There wasn't anything flashy about our offense because we just didn't have the ball much. We had 35 snaps, but I thought we were efficient on when we had it, had great ball security. So overall, just a really complete game out of our entire team.
See, okay, you mentioned a complete game, and that was something I wanted to ask you about as well, because after the game, it's kind of hard to evaluate whether it's a complete game or not before you look at film. But when now, as you've talked about all three phases of the game, do you feel like that might have been the most complete game you all played all year?
I would say it was to this point, yeah, I really do. And I thought the enthusiasm we had in films and then what our practice have been like now, the special teams, there's an excitement to be on special teams. And I know it has been there for us, but it really lifted us up. You know, offense and defense will be, in many games we played well. It's been some hiccup on special teams here or there. This game, we really put together a solid whole special teams night, and it really paid off dividends.
And morale-wise, I mean, just what was this like for the seniors as well as the team, just getting back into the state playoffs?
Well, I really go back to two players, Alec Weberg and Dylan Hare. They both were apprehensive going into this game, and I had kind of picked up on it. This is a game last year where Alec broke his leg and Dylan got knocked out, and so I think from that perspective, getting over that hump was a relief more than it was anything else. I spoke with both of them after the game. I felt like they were a little uptight, and they both admitted, you know, it was there was a little apprehension there, but I think that getting over that hump, now we're into the really last eight, the enthusiasm is off the charts. But we just have to have the attention to detail every day, and our practices have been very good. So if we continue to play the way we practice, you know, we'll be in a good state of Maine.
Okay, and this week's state quarterfinal opponent, Live for Life, what can you tell us about them?
Whew, athletic. You know, you just turn on the film and you just kind of hold your breath because I've seen a quarterback and running back run into each other, and one of them take the ball and run for a touchdown. You know, they just can make people miss so easily. They do a lot of good things. Very, very physical. And when I mean physical, I mean physical, physical. They are not afraid to hit. So they put together a lot of good things. Their offense is very much a run-based offense. Their defense is, we're going to bring cats at you, and you better be able to handle it. And their special teams are so dangerous because they've got great return guys. What we've seen is mostly the way they have turned games in the playoffs. The last two games that they've had, they create a turnover on the first series and score off it offensively. But then sometime during the first quarter, they make an incredible special teams play. So we've really got to match that.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, we're at a point where I think it's no surprise at all to see that Blair Oaks is in the state quarterfinals. I think maybe their upcoming opponent might be a little surprising. But before we get to that point, let's look back real quick and kind of put a bow on last week's district title game, which was a 54-14 win for Blair Oaks against St. Francis Borgia. So, you know, I kind of had, you know, and I think we might have even talked about it when we did the podcast, we kind of had a feeling it was probably going to be, a decisive win for Blair Oaks. I don't know that I saw a 40-point win, but, you know, how did that one play out that it ended up being a 40-point win?
I mean, it was just one of those games where I think, you know, Borgia got the opening kick and it took them until their third drive to even get a first down. So you had a three and out, Blair Oaks almost blocks that very first punt. Then they had another three and out. Blair Oaks does block that punt, and all of a sudden Blair Oaks is up 14-0 early in the game. Now, Borgia did come back and do what it had wanted to do all game, which was have like a 4 or 5 minute touchdown drive. Problem is, it was really the only time they did that all game, because then Blair Oaks just came right back at them and scored, I believe, 40 unanswered points. And to Blair Oaks' credit, they did it in all facets of the game. Like, if you look offensively, that might have been, God, they scored 54 points, so it seems weird saying this, but statistics, from a statistical point of view, it was one of their worst offensive games, because they only had about 300 total yards.
Okay.
But the reason it was only 300 total yards is because the defense and special teams gave them such a short field to work with.
Sure.
So right. they did their yeah. I mean, they did their job. They were only on the field for 35 plays offensively. Okay. So it was one of those games where the offense didn't have to do a whole lot. They were able to maybe get some rest. And the defense, I'll tell you what, the defense and special teams put everybody on notice the way they played the other night. Yeah. I mean, this, looking at, before we get too far ahead, this may be one of the last games where those JV players do get to play, but
right.
you know what, the ones did their job. The ones did a pretty darn good job of shutting Borgia down.
So, like I say, it is time to refocus now. We're looking at class, you know, 2 quarterfinal game at 1 o'clock today. The opponent's going to be Live for Life. The site is not going to be Live for Life. It's going to be a Cardinal Ritter. I know the Blair Oaks faithful already knows that, but just worth a little reminder that that's where it's going to be at today. And like I mentioned maybe in the intro, it was a little bit of a surprise from the standpoint of, you know, not that it's surprising that a 2 seed that beats a 1 seed, but I think the fact that, you know, Live for Life beat New Madrid County Central 66-26, that was the surprise.
Yeah, I mean, that was maybe 3-possession game at halftime, and they just dominated the second half and just got something going offensively. You know, if I remember, I think that's the second straight year those two teams have played for a district title, and I think both times have been down at New Madrid County Central. Now, the 2021 version was much closer. This one, I mean, the story was turnovers. I mean, New Madrid County, you can't turn the ball. I think they turned it over at least 6 times. You can't do that and expect to win.
Right.
I mean, it's not like the Kansas City Chiefs this past Sunday where they turned it over 3 times and still won by double digits. In high school football, I mean, that's a wasted possession right there. And a lot of times when you have a turnover, you give the other team good field position. So, you know, hats off to Live for Life. As you mentioned, they're not normally a football power, but because I think in 2021 that was the first district title in program history. But you know what? They're making sure that they're not a one-hit wonder. They are back again in the state playoffs, and that was not the easiest of districts. I mean, that was, you know, Class 2 District 1, that was a mostly, you know, from a St. Louis all the way down to the Boot Heel District, and that's usually a pretty tough district.
Yeah, and I think it's also one of those things that, you know, they've probably flown under the radar a little bit from the standpoint of, you know, in a year where, you know, Class 2 seemed pretty loaded with, you know, with obviously Blair Oaks and Bowling Green and then some of the other teams that are still out there. It was probably real easy for them, even though they're now, 9-3, that was maybe not the flashiest of records when you've got a bunch of, you know, undefeateds plus a bunch of, you know, like 10-1 still left around. I think they were probably maybe the least acclaimed of the teams that are still playing at this point, but they're still playing at this point, so guess what? Then they're a team to be concerned about.
Yeah, I think people, maybe St. Louis people kind of kept an eye on them just because they did win a district title last year. If you look at their schedule, let's see. Only one game has been a 1-possession game. Now, if you look at Blair Oaks, nobody's played within double digits of them all year. But to Live for Life's credit, I mean, they're beating a lot of the teams that are in front of them. Their losses are to St. Dominic, a really good, I believe they're Class 4 this year. Cardinal Ritter, which, I mean, that was a 50-0 game, and Ritter is, I think, they're a favorite to win the state title in Class 3. And then they only lost by 6 to Vachon. So, I mean, they have played a lot of St. Louis schools, so I'm sure this will be the first meeting between Blair Oaks and Live for Life. And it'll be kind of interesting to see if they're like a lot of other St. Louis schools, that they just have a lot of size and a lot of athleticism, mm-hmm. and can they win with that?
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting, I mean, obviously at this point, you're just going to have, the record is what the record is, yeah. But I think it's, the thing when you look at their schedule is it looks like they've probably beaten the teams that they should have beaten. And then they've probably lost to the teams that you think they might have lost to. And then they were, you know, any of those kind of 50-50 games, yeah. maybe they got a win or two here or there in those games. So you go, okay, so they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. What does that mean for this game? I don't know. And again, with They seem to be every couple of years there's a good St. Louis team that it seems like nobody knows anything about. Yeah. And this is one of those years, and this is that team this year, in that you go, what do we know about it? Well, we've heard that this guy might be pretty good, or they might be pretty good at this, but they kind of slip through the cracks and nobody seems to know what exactly it is about them. So I guess in your conversation with Coach LePage, then what are they trying to prepare for? What do they think they have to be concerned about?
I mean, they're going to run the ball. Okay. I think they only attempted maybe 6 or 7 passes against New Madrid County Central. I don't know if that was, you know, cold related, but I do think they have a legit running game. I mean, they're running back, I believe it's Dekion Phillips, had averaged 10 yards a carry last week. You know, Noah Ridgel, who's also the quarterback, had another big performance. I mean, both of those guys averaged about 11 yards a carry. It's hard to lose when you do that.
Sure.
So, as we've talked about for the past couple weeks, and I feel like we keep saying this, but it is going to be a test where you're going to have a good run offense against a good run defense in Blair Oaks, and who's going to win? I mean, something's got to give. And more often what we've seen this year from Blair Oaks' perspective is it's their opponent that's lost that matchup. I mean, right. Blair Oaks is allowing, I think, around 100 yards rushing a game. And they've played a lot of teams that have really good run games. They've just held them well below their average. So is this a game where, you know, Lift for Life is able to push back, or is the Blair Oaks defense just keep doing what it has been doing?
Yeah. And then I think the other thing that comes up when you have these teams where, again, like you say, it's hard to get a scouting report on them, or you can't find stats about them. I think the more troublesome is, well, you know, most of these teams are going to have a good quarterback, a good running back, and a good receiver. So prepping your defense for something like that, other than, you know, wishing you maybe knew more exactly what they would like to run, that would be helpful. I think it's the things that worried me more as a spectator and as a guy who covered these teams is, I think that unknown factor becomes even more dangerous when you're talking about their defense. Because you go, okay, if we don't know much about them other than we can read the scores, what concerns you about this defense? Because again, if you're not hearing a lot, or they're not getting a lot of accolades, or they're not getting a lot of press, you go, what do we have to be concerned about, or who do we have to be worried about? And sometimes I feel like that's a worse position to be in, because you go, who could be disrupting stuff for us all day long that we don't even know about?
Yeah. I mean, if you take a look, speaking of defense, Lift for Life, I mean, really, they've held everybody under 30 points with the exception of that Ritter game. So they've done a good job of forcing mistakes, and I think that's one of the things Coach LePage says, hey, at this point, it's all about which team makes fewer mistakes.
Sure.
I mean, so the last time Blair Oaks played at Cardinal Ritter was 2 years ago when they played Cardinal Ritter. And if people remember that one, I think Ritter fumbled the ball on their first two possessions, and Blair Oaks scored on at least one, if not both, and never trailed the entire game.
Right.
So, again, he is right. Is Blair Oaks going to play mistake-free football? Probably not. But can they force Lift for Life to make more mistakes, and can they take advantage of those mistakes? And honestly, it's the postseason. That's what's really going to come down to, unless you just get a game where each team scores every time and whoever has the ball last wins.
Yeah, that's I think, you know, it's you can't overstate the importance of that enough, especially when you get to the postseason, because, you know, like I say, when they were able to force that many turnovers last week, you cannot win a game when you have that many. But you also can't win many postseason games when you have, you know, more than one or two. You can sometimes survive those, but that's kind of one of those things where you look at it and go, you know, you're going to want to play as mistake free as you can. Obviously, that's dependent on how you play and how the opposing team plays. But that's going to be huge. The other thing that I think is going to be a little bit more interesting is, we talked about it with last week, where last week was cold.
Yeah.
I think the one good thing about this week, with the fact that it has to be at Lift for Life or at Cardinal Ritter's home site on Saturday, is at least you're playing when the sun's going to be out. It's still going to be cold tomorrow. I think the forecast is set for 38 degrees, I think, of the high. But at least you're playing at 38 degrees in the sun, as opposed to playing if you had played last night on Friday night when it was really chilly and you were playing in the cold, that could definitely alter a lot of things. So you hope for, you know, let's just let maybe not have the weather be a factor. It will be a factor, but let's hope that it's not a big one today.
It is. And I mean, I remember going back to the North Callaway game 2 weeks ago, where Coach LePage talked with, you know, Lauren Briggs' offensive coordinator and Dylan Hare. Like, that game was really windy before the rain arrived, and he asked Dylan, hey, is the wind going to bother you? He's like, no, it's not going to bother me the way I play. And, I think the wind, if there is wind, would be more of a concern than the cold. I mean, sure. Blair Oaks played in the cold last week and looked good. And here's the thing. I mean, Blair Oaks, I'm sure if, like, people were looking at Blair Oaks from the St. Louis area, they're like, man, this Dylan Hare kid only threw the ball, like, 9 times last week. So they're a hardcore run-first football team. They just didn't need to throw the ball a lot because the running game was so good. I mean, I think Dylan had 11 carries for 135 yards. I will be curious to see if he gets more carries. I mean, it would not surprise me if we start seeing him get into the 20s like we saw against the Maryville, against the Lutheran North, and against the California early on in the season. It's to the point where now you're in there's only 8 teams left, and you have to have the ball in your best player's hand a lot of times. And that being said, if they find they find mismatches with the receivers or especially if Lift for Life tries to stack the box. Let's see. I'd be curious to see how that one plays out because 2 years ago, the last time they did play St. Louis School and Cardinal Ritter, they did throw the ball. They were not scared to throw it.
Right.
So it'd be very interesting to see, does Lift for Life have the personnel that can simultaneously shut down the run or the pass, or are we going to see maybe like a kind of a dime package where they have a lot of players in the secondary to enforce Dylan Hare to run, or are they going to stack the box and either force him to throw the ball or find a way to get outside the tackle and get to the sidelines to run?
So we'll get back to this game in a minute. I want to zag a little bit here for just a moment and go, okay, so the winner of this game is going to be playing another heavy hitter. Whoever comes out of it is going to have their hands full in the semifinals because that other matchup is going to be 11-0 Bowling Green against 11-0 Lafayette County. And so that's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah.
I will just ask you real quickly, how do you see that one playing out, and what do you think we see from that game?
That one's interesting just because if you look at Bowling Green's schedule, you want to find a team that scored more points than Blair Oaks this year. It's Bowling Green.
Right, right.
And I think it's just because they didn't really have – I mean, again, the Emo Conference is mostly down this year outside of Bowling Green. And if you look at Lafayette County, I mean, they're a team that can score in the 60s. They play in the the Missouri River Valley Conference. And look at what they did last week, and they beat Richmond 7-6. So they've shown that they can win defensive stalemates.
Sure.
I know it's a home game for Lafayette County. I think Bowling Green does win this one. I'll say they win that one probably 28-21. And I want to remind people, so if Blair Oaks wins and Bowling Green wins, the semifinal game would be at Bowling Green. If Lafayette County wins, Blair Oaks will get one last home game.
Okay.
Assuming Blair Oaks wins. So yeah, that'll be an intrigue. And again, you know, there's 4 11-0 teams left in Class 2, and 3 of them are on the same side of the bracket. So it'll be very interesting to see who comes out on top and is one of the 2 state title teams.
All right, so I'll just ask you then, is Blair Oaks playing in that semifinal game next week against one of those 2 teams?
I think they are. Their defense has just played so well. The one thing I'll be curious to see, and I know we've made a lot, I mean, it's an even number year, we've made a lot of comparisons to this team between the 2020 and the 2018 team, both won state titles. The thing I remember about those games, and don't get me wrong, I think there was a difference between Class 2 and Class 3. The 2018 Class 2 team just dominated everybody from the get-go. The 2020 team in Class 3, once they got to the playoffs, I mean, you had some high-scoring affairs where it became offensive shootouts. Which defense is this Blair Oaks team going to resemble, the 2018 or 2020?
Right.
And I think they're really starting to look more like that 2018 team and heading in that direction. I think Blair Oaks wins this game 42-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.